session number 26648, reel 3.
This is tape 78AA7, recorded on the 4th of September 1978 at Bancroft Shed. Jim Pollard, weaving manager, informant. Stanley Graham, interviewer. We shall just roll quietly on from where we left off last week, because I can remember my exact words last week. I said I didn't think much of the disease, but I thought the treatment was bloody marvellous.
And that's correct, yeah.
Yes, you were on Guinness four times a day and yes. Champagne.
And that morning, lunchtime, tea time and supper time. Couldn't be better fed than that, Stanley.
No, not really. And that was Blackwater fever, weren't it?
Yeah.
Now, I was talking to a little bird with bow legs this week, and he told me that weren't the only thing that you had while you were out there.
Who was that?
Ernie. You had something else while you were out there that was rather nasty. Did he say something about Nairobi?
A Nairobi, eh?
Ah, what was that? Tell me about that.
Well, now that when we were at Brook Stanley, we slept with mosquito nets. And where they made these huts, they hadn't thrown up for shelter or something like that. They put us under some trees. Right. I don't know, there's a certain type of tree. Now then, I should say it reminding you of a big caterpillar. Used to eat these leaves. Now then, these used to fall down onto hook top. If you didn't watch it, they'd come in. Now, if you had your mosquito net up at night, there's a tendency to get under that net and just crawl on you. Well, one crawled up to my eye and just went across it, top of my lid. And it left some kind of acid. Oh, you'd never seen it like it in the morning. It was just like a bladder of lard stuck out with me eye. And that were full of water. So next thing I'm back, rushed back, well I went, I hadn't Blackwater fever then, like, because I was never out of hospital like that. They rushed me to hospital with it. And all they did, could put some kind of powder, such as a Johnson's baby powder, just dust it with that. And a big swab of cotton wool, and then a lightly put bandage all round it. And I had to keep that until it kept going down and down and down. And they said, don't bump it at all, you can lose your sight of your eye with that. And it just went down, normally, but all flabby skin where it had all, you know, been affected, it was just like somebody were aged with that, you know, the green cloak.
That's it, yeah. Mm.
Ah. And that we're calling Nairobi eye.
I don't think I want to go to Nairobi. It's funny, I know a lass that's just gone out there, I know. I'll tell you who's out there, Linda, that was here the other week with you, Linda Lloyd-Jones.
She?
Yeah, yeah, oh, she's gone back out there. Yeah. Anyway, that's a different story altogether. So, after you'd been in hospital at Liverpool, you went in hospital?
Well, when they shipped me on from in on the 11th of November.
And what year was that, 1940?
I'm 44, something like that.
Now, let me just get it straight. They shipped you back to Liverpool.
And, yeah, well, my first stop were at Portishead. I came from Mombasa to Portishead on a Canadian hospital boat. And then we were transshipped to an ordinary passenger boat from Portishead to Liverpool. But treatment you got from Portishead to Liverpool, was shocking for anybody that was just coming out of hospital. You were just an ordinary passenger then. It was nearly as bad as when you went out, Stanley, with a polyass on the table top and such as that. Well, then when we arrived at Liverpool, we were shipped to hospital. I think it'd be up Prestwich way, somewhere there. Forgot the name at the hospital. I were on the main road because I used to see Feathers wagons from Colne. Transporters come past daily, top gate.
And how long were you in there?
6 weeks. Then I were parcelled up, bag and baggage. Because they couldn't give me any treatment, really. They didn't give me anything. Just carried on with a bottle of Guinness. And I'll play it hell. I said I might as well be at home. And you know, he'll threaten. If I can't go home, I'll get on that feather's wagon and be home in no time, you know. But they shipped me out of there, and I were on a double-decker bus on my home to Lime Street Station at Liverpool, with two kit bags and a valise. And I weighed 5 stone 13 when I left. And it's a good job there were folk about that could carry that stuff, because I couldn't stand. And you know how you changed trains at the end days to get to Colne? Well, every change of tide to make up to rely on somebody to carry these two kit bags and my valise and put them in another compartment for me. And then I come home for a period.
How long were you at home?
I should think I'd be at home about 6 or 7 weeks. And then they transferred me up to a report to Colliston's Hospital at Worley. And what a place to send invalids. They were mental at one side, you know. And the other half for soldiers. Well, all you got there were remedial PT, you know. Because it, my feet were worse, do you feel what I mean? My legs seemed to be... wouldn't go like they did before, you know. So they wouldn't have me going on rank marches. What's it up, not having that. So I had to sit on it for them in this here place, and they used to just keep turning my foot up and down, like remedial PT or... We and I were there from... I'd been there up 2 months. Colliston's and went, I'd like to get out. I had to go in front of a board and they downgraded me. Well, I went in front of two of us and I went in front and... just, well, there were these with red hats and these sat with white coats and what have you. Load of twaddly, weren't they? He says, well, you grade it 3-3. 3-3. I said, I've had the treatment. Get out, he says. So I had to report back in. Same lot week after. No arguing or asking me how I felt or all that. I thought I would just see 3.5 again. And I went from there to Blackburn, Witton Park. And I'll be there 2 months. Not more. From Witton Park, I had to report back to Woolwich, where I camp, you know. Which is base for artillery, actually.
What were you doing at Witton Park, anything?
Well, I worked in office.
Yeah.
You know. There.
How were you weight then, going back up?
Well, I'm about 6 stone, 7 stone. But, best that I went, when I started putting weight on it, when I moved to Woolwich, because I met an old friend of mine there. And usually when you got C3, you had to wait, you know, you were on low shoes. Couldn't wear big heavy ones, you know, low shoes. You couldn't go on guard duty or such as that. All you were doing then, Stanley, were such as toilet cleaning now, in cookhouse. And anyway, I parading one day, and this bloke that we'd been with, before we went abroad and he'd been left in England, he were a corporal. And they were what they called in employment office there. So I finished up in employment office with him. And that was just a matter of everybody out on parade at morning. There'd be 400 or 500 on parade. And it was just like a big, you could call it a huge unemployment office. You used to have to go down onto the square and count them off in hundreds or 60s or 70s, you know. Right. And send them out on demolition. Or search parties. If there'd been a raid, he used to have to send so many out and they'd start digging for bodies, either. And he used to send them down to Woolwich Arsenal, to ammunition works, or he'd send them down to docks. So, that were a very good job because I had a good billet. And had my meals brought in from cook camp straight away, better food. And I started gaining weight, you know. Well, after that, we moved to Birmingham from there, same kind of thing. And from Birmingham, I sent to Manchester and put into new clothes and out at army, you know.
Demob, when were you demobbed? Demob,
46, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
So you come home and you leave, and you get fed up. you know. Oh, what about? How long had I? Oh, hell of a long while, Lee. Well, after the first 2 or 3 weeks, I was fed up. So I went and reported to Dole to see if I had a job. Well, he says, yeah, you can go back at textiles, you know. Bugger that, I said. Yeah. But there must be some better jobs than that, you know. All right, he said. He said, I've about found you a job then. You can go to Gasworks. And bloke that were on there, on this, dishing jobs out, were a fella that had done the same job as I did before I were called up. And call him a mate, workmate. And he, pretty cheap to try and send me to Gasworks. C3, I said, you got bloody old. Oh no. So I decided to come back at textile. So I was back at mill after a month.
Which mill?
This.
Bancroft.
Back home.
Now tell me. You'd gone away to war. Never been out at country. You'd gone abroad, you'd seen all sorts. And you're back in Barlick again. Now would you say that when you came back to Barlick, I'm not talking about what you found when you came back, just for the moment, how would you say your attitudes had changed? Had your attitudes changed when you came back?
Well, I can't think. I don't think they extant me, really.
What, do you think you were the same fella that you were when you went out?
I was a bit more bloody cheeky.
Well, what do you mean?
I've been pushed around, and at least bit of a thing like it, say, you know, get stuff to someone like that, you know. I'd never have thought of saying that before to anybody. Sure. Same as I played a season for cricket, you know, after. And you had that devil may care attitude, you didn't give a bugger. If somebody said, like, if you, same as Alice used to feel at first slip, in cricket more, mainly first slip, and at least bit of a chance I thought for an LBW's position, I'd shout my head off. And anybody had turned around and said then, we're playing a game of cricket, you know. Be quiet. What the hell are you talking about? Get on with your bloody game. I'd have never said that before, Stanley.
More independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you came back up to the... How about Barlick itself? Any change in Barlick? You know, any change in town, you know?
No change, Stanley. No change, it was still same Barlick to me.
Same faces?
Same faces. Yeah, they were mostly same faces at work.
Few missing?
Well, no, I wouldn't say the worst, only I didn't. There'd been a few killed, but they weren't. I can't say there were only one out at Mill and he were killed early on at war. Well, you were used to that, you see, before we went.
What were attitude of people people in Barlick when you came back? When I say their attitude, you know, what was their attitude towards people that had been away at the war and come back? Was there any
different attitude, Stanley. No different attitude.
No conquering heroes?
No conquering heroes or all like that. They just... Well, I think they felt like you had a right to go, and that were it. And that's what it boils down to. You see, war were over then, Stanley.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
And there were no danger of anybody coming anymore. So feeling's gone out of that. Well, before war started, at least bit of a... Even if siren went. Bloody panic stations in Barley. Oh, everybody was going to build air raid shelters. Any nook or corner, we thought they could get an air raid shelter, they'd do something about it.
Oh, siren did go in Barley.
Oh, siren went in Barley. Oh, yeah.
Whatever for?
Well, you see, they'd raid these raids at Liverpool, did that raid at Liverpool, and they did one at Manchester. Well, you take it then, Stanley, they were bugger all to raid, you, really.
Oh, they were a fair deal at Manchester. No, I were in it.
Yeah.
But,
Well, I were training at Carlisle and playing for the first raid were in Manchester. And morning after, parade ground were empty. Because I were called up with all Manchester. Just a few from London. They'd all took the route to Manchester and Salford area to see if the families were all right. Well, after they come back, they were doing a fancy bit of a double round parade ground with Kit, with Valise on the back.
Yeah, I know all about that. Yeah. So you're back in Barlick.
And you wouldn't. No. Well, I didn't mean not after when you come back, and it had been over, you know, a few months. Everybody carried on as normal. Everybody were trying to get into Rolls, well, it were Rover Company and that.
Yeah.
Get into that place. Textiles had been a bit forgotten then because they'd found out that they were far better in jobs in engineering. Now, whatever they were at textiles.
And then there were, when you, at that time you're talking about, just let's see whether I've got it right. Wellhouse was closed, Wellhouse had been used as a tobacco warehouse.
Yeah.
Bankfield at Rover.
Yeah.
Calf Hall.
That were under Rover.
That were under Rover as well, weren't they? Now, what other mills were closed down, can you remember, after the war? Let's go through them, it'll be the easiest way for you. Westfield, what were going on there?
Westfield? Well, there were Proctors and such as that there.
They were weaving.
They were weaving. There were Brookses, weren't there, Westfield?
Yeah, Brookses, Westfield, that's it. Edmondson Brooks. Fernbank?
Yeah, they were weaving in there. There were such as... there'd be Maynot and still Maynot and Gills there. There'd probably be Cairns and Lang still there. And then there were Edmondsons there.
Yeah. Butts?
Butts. Well, Butts had been... Now, Butts, them changed over. Now, soon after the war, there were a fridge firm there that made electric fridges and such as that, Stanley. So that had been changed over.
Mm-hmm.
So there were not... There was, you know, what did they call them? Aldersleys. There were Aldersleys at one back side of Butts.
Ah, that little shed at back
yeah.
here.
Oh, there were Aldersleys there.
Calf Hall were at Rover. Bancroft were weaving, obviously.
Yeah.
Wellhouse Tobacco Company. Clough.
Now, let's see. I think Clough would still be going. Mm-hmm. I'm nearly certain Clough would still be going under Slater's.
Yeah, under Slater's, aye. Longing.
Longing were still going.
That were Pickles.
Pickles's.
Yeah, Pickles, and who else were in at Longing? Was there somebody else in then? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's
Bouncy right. Shed was...
Bouncy were Pickles.
Bouncy were Pickles, Knowles's,
yeah.
And Nutter Brothers. Nutter Brothers at one end.
Yeah.
Because Nutter Brothers were down at Grove and they moved out at Grove because they took that over for a storage place during war. Yeah. Grove Mill down at Derby, which is now Armouride.
That's it. So Nutter Brothers come up into backside at Bouncer.
Bouncer.
And Moss were at Widdops.
Yeah.
There were nobody else in Moss, only Widdops, were there?
No, there were Widdops.
Ah, that's it. There were that silk firm, weren't there?
There were Widdops. Then there were what we call as Bem Dems now.
Yeah, B&M Holdings.
Holdings, Blackie Holdings. And then there were another. Aldertons, were it?
Alright, now wait a minute.
In Moss there were Widdops, Aldertons, Holdings. Widdops at biggest area there.
Well, it was Widdops Mill, weren't it, Moss?
Got
biggest shareholders.
Colin Aldertons.
How about
Blackie
that?
Holdings.
Ella Bank Manufacturing Company, no?
Well,
Silk Company.
Ella Bank did a small bit at backside at Moss Shed, Stanley. And then they moved
were they
from
silk?
Silk. Mm. They were a silk firm. And then they moved from there back down into to the back end of
Bouncer.
No.
Ping.
Wellhouse. Wellhouse Mill.
Oh, and Wellhouse. Started.
Yes. Now they're also went started up. There were this is what we're talking about. Ellabank came into it, and then there was another small firm in there, and then Nutter started again. You see. A bit. Mm. Mutter Brothers.
How about Seal Manufacturing Company?
Who?
They call them Seal Manufacturing Company. They used to be in
Westfield.
Well, at one time,
not Westfield.
No, one time they were in. Well, one time they were in. Or the people who formed that company were in Coates. And then I don't know whether they went down to Eby. Did they go down to Eby?
No, what was that place called? Were it Fernsill? That went in to where Edmisons were.
That could be. Sounds like it. Fernbank, Silk Weaving, Fernsill. I've not heard of them, but that could be.
There were a firm moved there, you know, a silk firm.
Yeah.
Because not long after, went a long while after, you got such as Maynot and Gills finishing and all these smaller units.
Yeah.
I should think out the original ones down there now, there's only Edmisons.
Yeah.
Because t'others is Longtex, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Ah, there is still some looms down there, isn't there? Those are the only other looms in Barnwick. They tell me it's a very well-run place, that as well.
Which?
Down at...
Longtex.
Fernbank.
Longtex.
No, that weaving firm that's
Edmisons.
Yeah, there's a... What's the name of the fella that's running it? Is he called Mr. Brooks or Mr. Crook or something?
No, it'll be...
Manager for him. They tell me he's a very good bloke, they tell me.
I don't know where it's... They've just getting... Sneath used to be shed manager there at one time.
Oh,
now he's finished.
Yeah.
Now they've got... Who is it? I don't know. But theirs is like a specialised deal. They've only about, 80 loom now. But there were a write-up about their cloth, not wrongs in paper.
Mm.
Didn't they take it on that expedition? Were it on this last climate that was done?
Oh, they could have done, I don't know.
Well, they were write-up in paper about it, but it's all specialised cloth down at Edmondson's.
Anyway, the point is that Barn Owlswick, when you came back, could still be said to be a cotton manufacturing town.
Yeah.
I mean, without... I'm not going to start reckoning the number of looms up now, but there were still a fair number of looms in Barn Owlswick, and to some extent, things would be, apart from Rover and part of Butts being taken over with somebody else, things would be very similar to what they were before the war. Now, what I'm working round to is, you came back to Nutters. Do you think that the attitude... of course, we'll be talking about Wilfred now, won't we?
Yeah.
Wilfred Nuttall. Do you think Wilfred's attitude towards the cotton industry was any different after the war than it was before?
No. No, it wasn't the same.
No. I remember you once saying about Wilfred that you didn't think that Wilfred could ever imagine the day...
When there'd be a shortage of weavers.
When there'd be a shortage of weavers.
Or put it down as labour for... Weaving.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And ancillary labour that were going to be required.
Mm. So as far as Wilfred were concerned...
He couldn't see... As far as Wilfred were concerned, Stanley, he couldn't see anything taking labour for any other labour which were going to be used, apart from textiles.
Mm.
He couldn't see such as engineering coming the main thing in this town.
Yeah, that's it.
In no foresight,
yeah.
Regard, because as far as Wilfred thought about them, they were just gun fodder for looms.
That's it. Now, there's something comes in with that. Something that Ernie said when he came back after the war. He said that the biggest surprise that he got was the fact that weavers were now being treated as human beings. He said they needed weavers.
Well.
And one thing that he mentioned in particular was at Widdop's where he went. He did a bit at Bouncer and then he went to Widdop's, and he wrote Widdop's 11 years after the war. He said they actually had a woman coming round with a trolley for tea, with tea for the weavers. And he said to me, he said, you know, things like that were unheard of. Now, would you say that the attitude towards the weavers, you know, as distinct from Wilfred's attitude, was the attitude towards the weavers any different up at Bancroft than it had been before the war?
Oh, no. They still kept the same old attitude at this first, Stanley.
Yeah.
And it's gone on through the ages.
Well, they still have to this day, haven't they?
You've still got the same old, take it now, Stanley, as I can see. There's nobody with any push here, any foresight. They were contented to do their time out, and that's what they were satisfied with.
When you say they, who do you mean?
Well, I mean such as W.E., Now, W.A. had a son that wasn't interested in textiles. This is why Wilfrid sold out. And that was sold out in 1948 to Lee Manufacturing Company.